Porn star's allegations about Donald Trump have made headlines, but if there wasn't so much other news, would we be hearing more about it? NPR media correspondent David Folkenflik has been giving this some thoughts. Hi, David.
Hey, Robin.
And to recap, Stormy Daniels says Trump's lawyer paid her in the final days of the campaign to keep quiet about a past affair with Donald Trump. This week, she filed suit against Trump, saying that he didn't sign the accompanying non-disclosure agreement, so she has the right to talk about it. Then White House spokesperson Sarah Sanders said, well, actually, Trump lawyers went into arbitration this week to stop her, and they won. But then they may be lost because that's the first admission from the White House that there actually was a non-disclosure agreement. But your thoughts overall on how big a deal this is and how much coverage it's received?
I think this is a really big deal. Yeah. I think this was a case that would be a story that would be blotting out the landscape, that would be dominating headlines and front pages were this any other president in any other presidency for day after day after day. It would be almost immobilizing. Think about the facts that you've just described so concretely and factually. You've got a woman who's a pornographic actor who has alleged a consensual sexual liaison with the president of the United States for which she was paid six figures secretly by his lawyer. That's a big deal. This was done right before the election as to cloak and shield this information from coming to the public. Now, people have made allegations about relationships with the president before he took office, before his candidacy. This is in some ways baked into our understanding of who he is. But you know, this was a payment made, essentially, you know, an extraction of money. You could look at this as a form of extortion, or you could look at this as a form of hush money or both in a non-legal sense. But it has to reflect how we think about this president and this figure in the White House and other issues about whether or not there's other compromising materials on him. I've got to say, you know, her you listen to somebody like Jacob Weisberg, the head of Slate, who interviewed her in 2016 about this but only felt able to report on it as she's become more public on these matters. And he talks about her tale being remarkably consistent throughout.
Right.
And you look at the statements of the president's lawyer, less so.
Okay. Well, look, you say this would have taken down other presidents. As we know, the press didn't even cover past affairs. We're thinking of JFK. The thinking in the past, it was off the table. But if they had back then, it would have been devastating for Kennedy because the voters expected more from him. With Trump, you just alluded to this, his voters don't have that same expectation. They voted for him, hearing him say things on tape, you know, what he would grab that would have brought down any other president. Does that have something to do with this? They're also pointing, I've heard evangelicals point to, you know, Bill Clinton and say, well, at least what Trump is alleged to have done with this woman, it's between two consulting adults. It wasn't abuse of power like Bill Clinton's affair with an intern in the Oval Office. You know, is that a part of this, that it doesn't get traction because the people, you know, who are backing the president strongly still just know all about it and don't think it matters?
Well, in some ways, you could argue to news executives have baked a certain streak of cynicism about Trump's personal behavior into their coverage, although I think you've seen it become more muscular in recent days, maybe the past week or so. I think you could look at conservative evangelical leaders who have seemed to have decided, by and large, coverage suggests, for political reasons to support this administration because some of the policies that he's backing are ones that they want and not really looking at the man, kind of an inverse of what they advocated that liberals do during the Clinton administration. I covered the Clinton impeachment crisis. And I do think that the Paula Jones case, which followed him into the White House but stemmed from his days as governor of Arkansas, and also, of course, Monica Lewinsky, to which you alluded, were questions of abuse of power but also you know, real scandals that attracted significant attention. This thing isn't about something that is non-consensual. And I don't know if it brings him down. I don't know if what brings people down or not. What I do know is that these things are worthy of coverage. And what I do know is that a payoff of that matter in the days before the election suggests a relationship between his concerns about what's being alleged and keeping that from the public. It's not that he's baking that into the equation and saying, I'm not worried if you find that out.
Well, look, we've reported before on how some of the president's friends in right-leaning outlets, you know, like the National Enquirer, have helped him cover up allegations that they helped him cover up some of these stories. But you mentioned the vulnerability. There was that Steele dossier, which is controversial. Some of the reporting is unverified. But the leak alleged that the president was vulnerable to foreign influence because of his behavior.
I think that it is, you know, some of the things in the Steele dossier appear to have borne out over time. And I think it's hard not to look at the Stormy Daniels, her real name, Stephanie Clifford, mm-hmm. you know, her allegations seemingly effectively substantiated at minimum by the fact that you heard the White House press secretary saying, well, they took her to arbitration to compel her to be quiet about this, acknowledging that there is some heft to the contract that she said was signed between her and the president's lawyer. Look, it's very hard not to look at that basket of information and be concerned that the person in the Oval Office not have acts or behavior in his past that could compromise him or in some ways be pressure points if somebody who's a, you know, a pornographic actress is able to extract a, you know, a six-figure sum from him.
NPR media correspondent David Folkenflik. David, thank you for your thoughts as always.
You bet.